from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic. We are back!
And here's Bobby Witt Jr. First pitch. Fastball lifted. Deep to left field. Benintendi back. On the track. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam. The Royals take the lead in the top of the eighth. It is 8-5. Nobody is hotter than Bobby Witt Jr. is right now. His fourth hit of the game.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Having a great time.
You want to be.
Loving the fun.
Want to see all of the excitement? This is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy, or the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
What a jam. That's what I was singing last night after the Grand Slam. I promise you. Jumped out of bed, popped up. It's like, no way. And it started.
Did you not feel it coming, though?
I didn't. I really didn't, because I'm that guy. I'm dramatic. I understand it. I own it. Zerpa and the bullpen did it again. It was 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but once the inning started to unravel in the eighth inning, they brought that bookbinder guy in, or whatever his name was, from the bullpen that looked like he'd never seen a major league game before, and he started hitting guys and walking guys and not being able to get guys out after starting 0-2 and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden you got an inkling, because I was watching the White Sox side of things just to get a different perspective. And my wife's like, why are we watching the White Sox broadcast? I'm like, I like to hear what they say. And we'll get into some of that coming up in our next segment. You could just kind of feel like it was getting out of control. Like, and that's the difference right now between the White Sox and the Royals. White Sox are going into that going, all right, how are we going to blow this thing? The Royals are going, and how are we going to win this thing? And once it got close to Bobby Witt time, the White Sox announcers were like, oh, this is really bad. Now you're turning the lineup over. Now you're going to give Bobby Witt an opportunity. And sure enough, first pitch, Bobby Witt goes yard, grand slam, and the Royals win the baseball game.
Yeah, in my head and my thoughts go a couple of different ways watching that game last night, because I had texted you guys once it was 5-2. It was like, okay, here's a show topic, get fans engaged. Mm-hmm. Do we hit the panic button? Because that would have been 2 out of 3 lost Arizona, 2 out of 3 lost to the Cubs. Coming off, you know, what was that? A 2-game losing skid to the Cubs, should have handled business. Yeah. You lose your first game to the White Sox. What are we doing? This team's the worst team in baseball. They're almost at 90 losses by the end of July. And then all of a sudden, Renfro slaps one the opposite way.
It's 5-3.
Melendez comes right up, hits another
Whatever that home run was by Melendez was insane.
A hose. Yeah. But not his arm, his bat. And all of a sudden, it's 5-4. And I text my buddy who had bet on the game for just the Royals to win. Mm-hmm. And I said, .. And he, you know, sends back 5 minutes later, oh my. And so we're sitting there, I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, everybody around Bobby Witt Jr., which we've said before, set the table. Mm-hmm. Let him do his damage. It'd be nice to see him do something with runners in scoring position. Now Bobby Witt Jr. has 75 RBIs on the season, hitting second in a lineup that, well, not normally you see that out of a number two guy.
Right.
And which all but solidifies he's probably going to have 100 RBI, probably going to hit close to 30 home runs, have 35 stolen bases, and we'll get into numbers a little bit later. But the other thing that it made me think of, because I start seeing everybody going, Kansas City is a fun time right now because we have the best football player and the best baseball player, and they're in the same city, and they're both in their youth, and they're awesome. Mm-hmm. And they're both locked up, right? They're not going anywhere.
Right.
And so I think to myself, I'm like, this is one of those moments that probably in 3 years, I'll think, oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. But at the time, I'm watching that game and I'm telling myself, how freaking sweet was that? And it reminded me of the plays that maybe now we take for granted for Patrick Mahomes, like the 25-yard runs on 3rd and 9.
Right.
Or it's 4th and 2 and Patrick Mahomes does the option play in the Super Bowl where he's supposed to give it to Kelce and does a slide first down and move the chains. And you think at the time, you know, because you've seen so many magical moments by Mahomes that you're just like, oh, yeah, ho-hum, that's just 15.
Right.
This is one of those moments because a year ago plus a day, he hit the grand slam to walk it off. Mm-hmm. I have it on video. It was there with my family. It's one of the greatest videos I've ever captured live. And a day and a year later, he hits a grand slam to win the game. And at that point, my thought process goes, this is probably now the best player in baseball from a 5-tool standpoint. Aaron Judge is doing magical things in New York, but must be nice. You have Juan Soto and guys hitting around you. Bobby Witt Jr. is doing this in Kansas City, small market team. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. It's Royals, blah, blah, blah. They'll fade out. They're still here. There's 2 games left in July. And as of July, Bobby Witt Jr., according to J.J. Cooper, has a 14-hit game, or he has a 14-hit, I don't know what that means. He has an 11-game hit streak. He has 41 hits this month in 21 games. He has 16 extra base hits. He has one game in the entire month of July, as of July 29th, where he doesn't have a hit. He's gotten a hit in every game except one, and he has six 3-hit games. That's just in July for Bobby Witt Jr. Not only that, but Bobby Witt Jr. grand slams that turned a deficit into a lead in the 8th inning or later. Bobby Witt Jr.'s done it twice. Only 3 other players have done it in Royals history. Well, Frank White, Salvador Perez, Hunter Dozier. Remember him?
Hunter Dozier. Right?
In 2019.
Being in a category with Hunter Dozier.
That's probably, that contract year, baby.
You don't want that category, right? But Bobby Witt last year, when you talk about that home run, raise your hand if you actually remember that home run, because nobody was watching the Royals last year, right? It was a meaningless game. They were on their way to 106 losses, whatever the case
may be. I was
there.
That's the reason I know it happened.
Right.
And I recorded it.
And you were there, and you happened to be there and saw that game. Great. Fantastic. But nobody was paying attention. Fast forward a year from now, where everything is on the line at this point in time, and Bobby Witt's still doing it, that shows you what type of baseball player he is. It's easy to go out there and play big when the game doesn't mean anything and it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Last night to me was Bobby Witt's kind of defining moment where I watched a gentleman single-handedly take over a baseball game and say, you know what, screw this. We're not losing this game. He gets up there with the bases loaded. His teammates did a great job of giving him the opportunity to be in that position. He didn't wait around, first pitch over the fence, grand slam. Mm. And then he made play after play behind General MacArthur last night, who was trying his best to give up the game, obviously. But Bobby Witt made two phenomenal plays at the end of the game to make sure that he secured that game and won that game for the Kansas City Royals. He single-handedly won that game last night. And that's the first time I can remember a baseball player, my God, single-handedly winning a game since... I mean, I don't know, man. Like from our standpoint, like in 14 and 15, those were always team wins. There wasn't one player that went out there and just dominated and took over games, right? That was the first time I can remember in a long time watching a player in baseball, which is so hard to do, channel his inner F you, I'm taking over this situation, and legitimately took over the game. And that's why I kind of related to that was his 13-second moment that we saw Patrick Mahomes have, where he says, I don't care what time of game it is. I don't care where we are in this game, where I am on the field. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to take care of business. And we saw Bobby Witt do that. And on a baseball diamond, where you don't get as many opportunities as you do on a football field, he took full advantage of every opportunity he was given in the eighth and ninth inning last night. And he's the reason why the Royals won that game. And there's nobody else. And there's nobody else you can say, well, this guy did this. Okay, great. Bobby Witt was the catalyst, and he is the reason they won that baseball game last night.
And Bobby Witt Jr., according to Nick Keppel, the Royals PR, has on pace now for 131 runs scored, 224 hits, which is just insane to me.
Insane.
That's like Ichiro numbers. 89 extra base hits, 113 RBI, 34 stolen bases, all on his baseball card. No player in the history of Major League Baseball has finished a season with those totals.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just maybe we have a serious MVP watch. Like, this is now Judge versus Bobby Witt Jr. the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And Bobby Witt Jr. now hitting .347. He has 19 home runs, 75 RBI, leads the league in hits, leads the league in runs, playing gold glove defense. And when you say Bobby Witt Jr. put the team on his back, not only that, he showed all five tools last night. He showed speed. He showed average. Yep. He showed power. He showed it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end of the game, he makes right after he hits the grand slam, and he's just on another planet. Because that also is, and I mean this, that's also the most emotion I've seen from Bobby Witt Jr. after a grand slam. Like, that was one of those, like,
oh, when he's rounding first,
and he gets into the dugout, and he's like bopping his head and high fiving people a little harder than normal you probably would, and then immediately goes out there and makes a backhanded play, plants his foot, and throws a bullet to Vinny.
Right,
MacArthur gets the next play. It's a bouncer right back up to him, makes a nice play on it. And then the next play after that, he slides, says, hold my beer, pops up, plants, throws another strike, game over.
Game over.
And I don't know if you were seeing it, but they kept showing that miserable White Sox fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like rubbing his face, saying he's going to blow it, he's going to blow. And he did.
And he did.
And you watched one man, which is a team sport, I get it. But sometimes... there are moments in sports where these sort of moments overmodulate everything else you've seen all year. And that last night, when you're watching guys like Nightingale and Heyman and Passan and everybody watching that moment going, my God, baseball might have its new face.
Yeah, it does have its new face right now. And it's up to those guys to make sure that they make the right choice and vote for the right person. Because Bobby Witt right now is your American League MVP. And he's doing it at a position that is so hard to play at such a high level, so consistently. He's playing every single day. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Aaron Judge. He hit two home runs last night. Like, he's having an unbelievable season,
right,
and is basically leading the American League in every category. But Bobby Witt Jr. is leading the league in average right now. He's playing a shortstop position. And without Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals aren't above 500. They're probably not considered a playoff team, and we're wondering, you know, what the direction of this franchise is. Not to say that the Yankees are a playoff team without Aaron Judge, because I don't know if the Yankees are a playoff team without Aaron Judge, mm-hmm, but you could probably sit around and make the case that they could be a playoff team without Aaron Judge right now. The Royals are definitely not a playoff team without Bobby Witt Jr. on the roster, and that, for me, and the position that he plays, gives him the nod over Aaron Judge as the most valuable player in this league. And it's about time somebody in a market outside of New York or Los Angeles or Chicago gets some of this national recognition, so we can show the rest of the country that baseball is strong in Kansas City and you can win in Kansas City. And I think it's important for Bobby Witt Jr. to win this MVP. And we'll do everything we can with the power of our microphones to make sure he wins that MVP award. But again, they make the writers vote, and a lot of these nerds vote for the Yankees.
It is what it is. Festco of the Morning is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
From the text line, Bob, you sound like Vern with his first caller last night saying he didn't want to hear about anyone else except Bobby. Who would you like us to talk about today, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about clutch performers and why Patrick Mahomes is in a world of his own, but you probably already knew that. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning. Welcome back into Fesco in the Morning. I'm sure you're riding high this morning after that Royals game. I know I am. I was singing baseball with the Royals last night. I was going to sleep in my head. I was singing Bobby Baseball, Bobblehead Bobby. Somebody on the text line. I was in the shower, listening to it on the radio. Shout out to 610 Sports Radio. When he hit that home run, I couldn't help but dance. That's how you know you were there. You were doing naked shower dances.
You were shower dancing. I hope you didn't fall.
Also, what's better, the evening shower before bed or the wake up in the morning shower?
Well, I don't normally take an evening shower because by the time I get to the evening, I've already showered at least twice. So for me, it's morning shower.
I do like a morning shower.
Yeah, for sure.
A little colder than normal, too.
Yeah.
I want to earn it.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just love a morning shower.
But I think like a good shower, honestly, is like 3 o'clock on a Saturday when you've been out in the yard working all day and you have a beer in the shower and you know that, like, you got the rest of the afternoon to chill.
You know, the other one that I like that's up there with that one, because that's a really good one. The other one that I really like is the you've been at the pool from like noon to five.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to go out later that night. So you kind of took it easy, but you caught your buzz, but you got to get the chlorine off of you. Then you take the beer in the shower, get rinsed off. That's kind of like a, that's the second win right there,
baby. Yeah, I like that. You know what another really good shower is the outdoor
couple shower.
A couple showers is always good, too. I do so like that. Yeah. Would you get my back? I've got your back.
And your front.
Yes, exactly. Plenty of soap to lather. But the outdoor shower in the summertime is always great. Like if you do a beach house or a lake house
or something like that.
Well, however you want to do it. I'm not judging here. Okay. And doing the outside shower. I was thinking about installing an outside shower at my house just because I like the outside shower.
There's Bob doing a showering
Why
thing.
Why not?
His daughter's getting home from school. Oh, there's Dad.
You stand in there in your swim
you got a
trunks.
Curtain.
Yeah. Or you build like a wall of wood or something like that. You know, you put a moon in it. But no, the outdoor shower is fantastic. Like just to kind of rinse off and get all that stuff off you before you go in the house, the sand and the grass and the nonsense. Like if you're out in the yard all day working, you want get all that stuff off.
You know who causes a lot of showers? Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, he does.
A lot of depressing showers. And I found this stat very interesting because I believe it was last week. We talked about clutch quarterbacks.
Right.
How clutch can you be? And Lamar Jackson was at the top of the list, but the clutch was like starting the second half with 14 minutes left or whatever it might have been. Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL postseason where it was at least the fourth quarter. There was under a minute left to play, and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start. So slow that down. 125 drives in the postseason. It was at least the fourth quarter. There was under a minute left to play, and the team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer. These are your standard clutch moments for a football team, the do-or-die drives that win and lose crucial games in critical times.
Wasn't this other Jackassian study that we saw last week, like with 7 minutes to go in the game?
It was egregious.
7 minutes? That's an eternity.
So out of those 125 drives, only 40% of them saw the team on offense pull off the magic trick and get the points they needed. Some quarterbacks were pretty good at it. Tom Brady, 5 of 11. 46%, not bad. Drew Brees, 3 out of 6, 50%, not too shabby. Out of those 125 drives, there's only one quarterback that's gone 7 for 7, or in other words, perfect in those dire situations. Bob Fesco, it is one Patrick Mahomes.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
No. Patrick Mahomes is 7 of 7 when his team has only a minute left to play and the offense is down by 7 points or fewer at the start of that minute.
Well, that's the clutch stat right there that you need, not whatever that was we talked about last week that had Jimmy Garoppolo ranked higher than Patrick Mahomes. And there should be no list out there that has Jimmy Garoppolo ranked higher than Patrick Mahomes when it comes to football, because he's not better than Patrick Mahomes. And nobody in their right mind would say, you know what, there's seven other quarterbacks that I would rather take in this draft than Patrick Mahomes. Like, everybody's starting their team with Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's even thinking twice about Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're probably taking him as an undrafted free agent flyer type guy. So don't put out a list that has Jimmy Garoppolo ranked higher than Patrick Mahomes, because that's just dumb. I mean, it really is. It's stupid. Matt Ryan's on the list and whatnot. Like that. It's a dumb list to put out. This is what matters most. When push comes to shove, there's under a minute to go. Who do you want quarterbacking your team
in the postseason?
And it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And it's Patrick Mahomes.
And I think that's why, and I know, Mac, you can chime in on this because you've been watching from a different state. Bob, you've been locked in like me the last 6-7 years. That's why in the playoffs, when the Chiefs are down, I have no worry.
There's no worries.
The only thing I didn't worry about, my buddy Brian was really good about this. I didn't understand the overtime rules last year. I'm like, there's a clock.
You play out San Francisco.
I'm like, timeout. Oh. He's like sitting there going, shut up. They have to guarantee at least to have one possession. I'm like, oh. And then corndog happens, and I'm like, okay.
Right.
In my life, I've never seen anything like this.
So you need the guy to, you need Nance and Romo to explain the overtime for you before the overtime.
How
like
would
they do?
Tony Romo explain the postseason overtime?
Look out, Jim. They're going to flip a coin. Oh, my God. It's going to go up in the air and hit somebody there. Look out.
Tony Romo, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that's where, like, you hear these stats, because stats don't lie. And they can be skewed.
Oh, stats can be skewed.
They can be skewed, but
they
don't lie. And when you are down by at least 7 with a minute left in the postseason, there's a reason why the Chiefs have 3 Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes. There's a reason why they're going for a three-peat. There's a reason why we are numb to the situation when Patrick Mahomes gets in the offense. And like you've said, you've talked to your sources, they're ready to absolutely burn the world to the ground this year on offense and show the league, like, yeah, we're going for a three-peat, but we're also going to embarrass people.
You ever see those flamethrowers that they have out there these days?
Political ads, yes.
Right, yeah, those flamethrowers. Yeah. That's what the Chiefs want to do to the rest of the NFL this year. They want to take a flamethrower to them and light them up on fire and send notice that not only are we going to three-peat this year, but we're going to embarrass all y'all while we're going out here and doing this three-peat. We're going to take care of business and make sure that you look like schlubs when we go out here. Because for a team that won the Super Bowl, we've talked about the bad taste in their mouth. We've talked about the December 25th game and how much that bothers Patrick Mahomes. For a team that won the Super Bowl, there's a lot of grudge. There's a lot of pissed offness. There's a lot of people that are like, all right, let's go out here and send this message. Because I think, Dusty, they all look at it and they think, you know, at sooner or later, this is going to be the last go-around, right? With Jones and Kelsey and Reed and Mahomes, like this foursome that we have right now, which could arguably be your Mount Rushmore of Chiefs history with Reed, Mahomes, Kelsey, and Jones, right? You've got these four guys together. There are no guarantees that they're going to be together after this season, right? There's no guarantees in life. So I think what they're looking at now is every time that they step out on the field, let's act like this is our last time together. Let's go out there and make memories. Let's go out there and crush the souls of everybody else involved. And that is the number one goal this year, to crush souls.
And that's what... to take, I guess that's...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a Rob Baratheon take. He liked to crush skulls and find girls. That's a Game of Thrones quote, season one. The king that started it all. But the other thing that's funny is that those are the stats when I read those, or those are the Mahomes things when I read those, I have to sit back and think to myself, like, wow, this guy is really, really that damn good. Mm-hmm. Like, we watched the game be played, and it's all of a sudden like, yeah, at the end of the stat line, Mahomes was 27 to 34, 320 yards, three touchdowns, maybe a pick. But you're like, that's a lot of people's A-plus game. That's a meh game for Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. And another meh stat that we kind of go through is the final four of the last 6 years, Chiefs, six straight. Something we take for granted as well, that Patrick Mahomes has put to ease with the Kansas City Chiefs, because there was not that long ago, it was like, can the Chiefs win a playoff game? They did. They beat the Texans. You brought up earlier, Nile Davis, kick return. You're like, okay, this is kind of cool. This is what success looks like. And then it was over.
It was over.
In a blink of an eye. You got to go play the reigning defending champions, the New England Patriots, and nobody remembers it except for the heartbreaking ass beating.
People
that
are
was.
Still complaining. Andy Reid took too long to score. Well, you got to score one before you can score two.
And then the other thing is that then it got to a point where it's like, can they win a home playoff game? And they beat the Colts en route to go to the AFC Championship game. They didn't lose to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But that was the first year they went to the AFC Championship game. And then you're like, well, that was fun. I feel like this team will get there again.
You felt like, though, at that point in time, if this is the peak, okay, it's pretty good.
Right. And you think to yourself, okay, we could probably get there again with Patrick Mahomes, maybe get a Super Bowl in the next couple of years or something like that. And then since 2018 to 2023, they have been one of the only representatives in the Final Four and the only other representative in the AFC Championship game. And out of those six, five they played in their own house. One they played on the road last year, beat Baltimore. Oh, big bad Baltimore. They run the ball. They're going to take the time out of the game. No, they didn't. L'Jarius Sneed, Zay Flowers, hey, nah. And you go from that to maybe this is something now that just goes on deaf ears, where it's like every other team is, there's three different tiers. There's, can they be a playoff team? Can they get to the conference championship? And then there's, can they get to the Super Bowl? And we talked about the power rankings of where teams sit. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are just always, can they get to the Super Bowl? Which means you're automatically saying, yes, they're a playoff team, and yes, they're going to get to the championship game. Whereas no other team in the NFL has that sort of conversation year in and year out, and it's because of what you mentioned. Brett Veach, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. That core group is the reason why this group is consistently in the AFC Championship game. And guys, I'm not saying it's a hot take. We can go ahead and probably go ahead and assume year seven in a row is going to be up there as well.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal for this organization, though. I mean, I said it years ago, like anything short of a Super Bowl appearance now is a disappointing season, as long as Patrick Mahomes is your starting quarterback, right?
Yep.
Right. It's a disappointing season if this team doesn't make the Super Bowl. And people are like, oh, you're an idiot. How could you say that? I go, because that's what they're saying. That's what their goal is every year, not just to make the Super Bowl, but to win the Super Bowl. And if by chance they get to the Super Bowl and they don't win it, another time like they did a couple of years ago, it will not be considered a successful season inside the facilities out at Arrowhead. And so if that's their MO and that's the way that they're looking at it, well, that's the way that I'm looking at it. It's not about the regular season. It's not about putting on a nice little run in the postseason. Mm-hmm. It's about, did you get to and win the Super Bowl? And if the answer to that question is no, then it is an unsuccessful season for the Chiefs. And that's the way we all need to start looking at it right now, because they are by far the best team in the NFL. They are by far the best quarterback team and the best coach team in the NFL. And when you have such a huge advantage over everybody at the two most important positions in all of sports, your goal better damn well be to win the Super Bowl and get to the Super Bowl every year. And if that's not the mindset that you have every year as a fan with this team right now, as long as Mahomes is the quarterback, you're in the wrong mindset.
Right.
You mentioned six straight AFC Championship appearances. Obviously, that's a record. And just to, it's kind of hard not to take it for granted, but to put it in perspective, to kind of help out, we talked about all-time quarterbacks last week. Joe Montana was number two on that list. Seven all-time NFC Championship games. Seven. So we're almost there. We could tie that. Peyton Manning, third, fourth greatest quarterback of all time. Mahomes already has more conference championship game appearances than Peyton Manning.
Yeah. The one that put it in perspective for me last week is when we were talking about the best quarterbacks in AFC West history. and Patrick Mahomes is already the greatest quarterback in this division's history. Like, for whatever reason, when I saw his numbers compared to Elway, and he has more championships than John Elway does right now, I'm just kind of laughing at that. I'm like, wow, that one kind of hit me, right? Like, it blindsided me on an idle Tuesday. I'm like, damn, I didn't realize that Patrick Mahomes right now, until I saw it, is now the current greatest, not the active, but the greatest quarterback in the history of the AFC West.
We dive back into the Olympics. You see what I did there? Because there's a Patrick Mahomes-type athlete that did something impressive today. Plus, we'll give you what you need to see when it comes to the Royals tonight. They go back on the mound in Chicago, 7 o'clock. Vern at 6, our Royals insider. But we'll get into what the Olympics are, what's coming up, what we're excited about. Plus, what everybody's excited about today, Bobby Witt Jr., because that guy's just damn good at baseball. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning. Imagine Dragons. Just kidding. This is like a Avicelli or something like that. Is that right? Is
Avicii.
That Avicii. No. R.I.P., man.
Bastille.
Bastille. Bastille.
Yeah, close.
Tony
Bastille from Who's the Boss?
That's it, yeah. That's it, man.
Former offensive tackle for the Jags.
Yeah. Had dinner with him at Smokehouse a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he get the wings?
He did.
I feel like football guys love wings,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like him and Ross Tucker threw down on wings. Yeah.
There's a rumor that Mike Vrabel would go to a local restaurant after Chiefs games at home on Sundays, and he would just say, however many wings you have left, I'll come by and pick them up.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah, and he smoked a bunch of darts in the parking lot,
I bet
too.
That guy eats wings aggressively.
Yeah.
You know you're in love when you can order wings on a date and there's no judgment.
Are people judging you when you order wings on a date?
The way I eat them. I get that flat. I go right between the bones with a tongue to loosen that meat.
See, if I'm taking a flat, I put the whole thing in my mouth. Ooh, I break off one of the bones, and I suck on the meat. I suck the meat right off the bone.
Ooh. Flats or drums?
I prefer drums.
Same.
I like drums. I like to swirl it in the blue cheese.
Ranch dressing from Smokehouse. Yeah, ranch. That's the only ranch I'll eat. Ooh. Blue cheese, I'll eat. Like, ranch, I'm not a ranch fan. But I remember years ago, Josh at Smokehouse is like, just try our ranch. All right? So glad I did.
You drank the Kool-Aid, per se.
It was good. Yeah, right. That was really good.
Don't drink it, Indy. It's bad. Short round. Temple of Doom.
It was very good. It's all homemade, you know?
Why are you guys so against darts? We're not. I went out on the patio last night and fired up a Parliament light. I couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
Went back in and I smelled like a smokestack.
Yeah.
Didn't care. Was bathed in victory. speaking of bathed in victory, Katie Ledecky's really good.
Yeah.
She was in the, semifinals, I guess, today for the 1,500-meter heat. She won by 17 seconds.
That's huge.
That's crazy.
I mean, I'm not really hip on swimming technology, like you said today, they say the pool is moving slow.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But I know that if you win a heat, which is a 1,500 meter by 17 seconds, in fact, when we watched it this morning before we went on the air, I looked at Bob and Mac and said, is she doing this solo? And they go, no, she's just whipping everybody's ass.
Yeah, like she laps somebody in this thing.
But that's not the last time we can see that.
Yeah, they'll have the final tomorrow for the gold medal. Tomorrow, okay. I don't know what time, but the 1,500 meter for Katie Ledecky.
Nice.
Good for her, man.
Let's go. See if she can beat her time from
today. I hope she smokes somebody again.
Yes.
Yeah.
She will. I assume she will. Maybe not the whole field, but.
Are you more interested in like the random games or Snoop Watch?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Because you never know where Snoop is, but I know this for a fact, that Snoop's been on this earth for, what do you think he is, 55, 60 almost?
Yeah, probably 60.
Got to be the best time of his life. And he's had a lot of fun times in the 90s hanging out with Dre and all those guys. But I gotta think that the way he's acting, the way that he's shown his personality, Paris, France, 2024, got to be in the top three moments of Snoop Dogg's life. And dude's had a ton of moments.
Did you see the pen he's
show.
Passing out?
Yeah.
Where he's blowing the rings of the
Olympic. I want one.
Yes.
How do I get
one? I want that Olympic pen.
Yeah, he's blowing smoke rings of different Olympic ring colors.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So I want to put that on my golf bag.
Standing. Like, he's got it on lockdown. He's America's guest right now. Him and Flavor Flav over there doing like the hype guy. They're like the hype men for America right now. It's cool. It's awesome.
Flavor Flav's what, the ambassador of our women's water polo team.
I don't know what his official title is, but he's all over the place.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's all over the place. Snoop's all over the place. Like, I thought Peyton Manning was really good on the opening ceremonies, too, when they started talking about the soccer team spying, and he talked about Spygate. I thought that was really good. Like, they set him up, and he hit a home run. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I like everything about the Olympics so far. I've really been dialed in more than I thought I was going to be in the first couple of days.
Are you watching something more of that you didn't think that you would?
I'm watching whatever Scott Hansen tells me to watch at that point in time.
Smart man.
Yep. You sent me where to go, Scott. That's why yesterday with the foisting of fencing that was going on in the United States. I'm glad they did. There was a little controversy, a little replay review that they couldn't figure out, so they just kept doing do-overs. I really like that aspect of things. I liked the surfing a lot yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. And who doesn't love the swimming? Whether an Americans are in it or not, all of these matches, for the most part, are pretty damn close, and you're getting great finishes and great drama and great theater, and ultimately that's what sports is about, right?
Jimmy's brother, Matt Fallon, just took second in the men's 200-meter backstroke.
Nice.
Good to see a lot of celebrities and their kin or their family doing well in Paris. But somebody says it's Chris Hansen, right? No, it's Scott.
Nope.
If you're watching Chris Hansen, you're watching the wrong channel.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up Ledecky, just her 1,500-meter, and I stumbled into her 800 freestyle time. She owns the 27 fastest times in the world. 27.
Domination.
It's insane.
Speaking of watching the wrong channel, your wife, the lovely Jen, was giving you crap about watching the wrong channel last night, the White Sox broadcast.
I like to go and watch the other and listen to the others just to hear what they're saying, because more often than not...
And Steve Stone's good.
Steve Stone's really good.
He's a legend.
Right? Yeah, he is. But more often than not, I can pick up something to use on the show, right? Because they're saying stuff about us. They're talking about us from a different perspective all the time.
Yeah.
And last night, this went down.
Look, I know that there's a guy in Los Angeles signed for $700 million, and there's no doubt that Ohtani is a wonderful player. I'd rather have Bobby Witt Jr.
than Ohtani?
Yes. And the reason is...
Steve Stone, hot take.
Well, number one, because you've got yourself a shortstop, which is a man in the middle of just about everything. You have a guy that... hits just about, maybe just as well as Ohtani. He doesn't have the power of Ohtani, no doubt about it. Obviously, he's not going to pitch. But this guy is going to play every day for you, and he's going to play in the field at a critical position. You try to win anything in this game without a shortstop, you're not going to win. So, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other. A lot of people would say that Ohtani's bat and the fact that he can pitch would put him above... For me, I want that guy because I've never seen, in all the time I've seen that guy right there, he has never dogged one step, never, anywhere. And that play he just made from shortstop, there's not many guys in baseball anywhere that could make that play.
It's really unbelievable when you hear somebody who played the game as long as Steve Stone did, has been around the game as long as Steve Stone is, to hear those compliments towards Bobby Witt Jr. just should give you pause to say, damn, we've got ourselves arguably the best player in baseball today. Mm-hmm. And there's a gentleman right there who's taking Bobby Witt Jr. over Shohei Ohtani. And I don't think that's a hot take at all. I think it's a very logical, well-thought-out take.
Yeah.
For me, though, if a guy can pitch and hit and dominate it both like Ohtani does, it's hard to pass him up because essentially you're getting two players for the price of one in this day and age of Major League Baseball. You kind of like to do that. But Bobby Witt plays shortstop. He plays every day, and he dominates offensively and defensively and on the base pass.
Kicks dig the long ball, I think, is the only reason why people would probably say, like, Ohtani is not a pitcher.
Right.
Like, Ohtani is hitting, like, home runs out of Dodger Stadium, which is crazy.
It's insane, right?
But, I mean, you put in the factors of Bobby Witt Jr., like, tonight, Mac and Bob and I are all going to be on our edge of our chair at 7:05, ready to watch the Royals.
That's right.
Or you'll be on your patio, finishing up yard work, putting on 610 Sports Radio, ready to listen to the Royals. Yes, I understand that it is the White Sox. But we can't change our argument where it's like the games are minimizing in the schedule. You have to take advantage of when you can take advantage. And last night was one of those things where, like,
Last night would have been a very big loss had they lost that game.
We're having a very
night.
Somber day today on the air.
Yeah, we are. We're wondering, okay, where is this organization going? What do we think they're going to be able to accomplish? Do they need to trade for me? Should they just figure out the rest of the season? Because last night was one of those kind of swing games in the standings, right? Yep. Everybody around the Royals won last night. If you would have lost that game, you'd been out of the playoffs this morning. You'd been another game back of Cleveland. You'd been another game back of Minnesota or whatever it would have been there. Like, everybody around the team won last night. And to couple that with losing to the White Sox, Dusty, it's not like you went out there and lost to the Orioles, right? Nope. You would have lost to the White Sox. And as we know, they're a bad baseball team. You keep a bad baseball team losing. So not only would you have lost on a game night where everybody else won, it would have also been to the White Sox, which at this point in time, you got to kind of put in your back pocket as gimme wins. You can't let a game against the White Sox get away. Like, these next two games, a lot of pressure on these games to win them.
Right. And the Royals now 58-49, the Twins 58-47, the Yankees 63-45. That is your wild card picture. The Royals a game up on the Red Sox. They are 2.5 up on Seattle and only a game behind Minnesota as we get ready to count down the weeks until we see the Twins come to town. The Royals will finish the next two off against the Chicago White Sox, then go play four against Detroit. Detroit could be a completely revamped team as the trade deadline ends at 5, and Flaherty and Skubal are both being rumored as trade pieces. I think we'll see Tarek Skubal to the Orioles before the day is over. I'm not sure how many sources you have in Baltimore, but I'm sure some of them would probably say that's an accurate take because Baltimore is trying to maintain space with the American League East as they are a half game above the Yankees, who have all of a sudden found their stroke again and added Jazz Chisholm as well. And apparently to some, they're not done either. This is where the rich get richer in the trade deadline when it comes to the bottom of the hour. And they're just like, all right, we'll just give you money. We'll just give you picks. Like, we don't care. We'll just sign this guy. We don't care about the contract that he has.
Like, I think it's going to be a wild 4:59 today, right? Like, leading up to that final minute of the trade deadline. Yeah. And it's probably going to be another one of those trade deadline days where deals are rolling in after the buzzer, you know, where they get them at the office, but they start leaking out a little bit later after the buzzer. I think it's going to be a wild and crazy day. I think the Royals are going to be involved. What they're going to be able to do and who they're going to be able to get, I don't know the answer to those questions right now. How do they match up with teams that are trying to sell off players right now? And are they willing to eat contract money? Because that factors in as well. You give up less if you're willing to eat more, right?
Right.
And so are they willing to take on more money to have to give up less in return? So there's a lot of stuff out there that could factor into whether or not the Royals end up making a deal today. I'd still like to see them get a deal because, quite honestly, when they were down 5-2, I was thinking to myself, boy, here's another bad bullpen arm. Zerpa's blowing one now, right? You know, you saw two guys go down on Sunday. MacArthur hasn't had it for a while now. Now Zerpa's blowing a game. Like, what are we going to do here? So I still think, even with the acquisition yesterday, I still think you're probably looking towards bullpen or pitching, regardless of what side, you know, you're going to have the guy on, whether he's a starter or a reliever. You've got to go out there and find guys that can help you pitch better than you're currently pitching right now.
Tonight, the Royals send Michael Wacha on the slab, 7-6, 3.65 ERA. Some good news around the league in your division. The Cleveland Guardians play the Tigers today. They throw out Williams, who's 0-3 with a 4.50 ERA, and Detroit throws out Holton, who's 4-1 with a 2.97 ERA. Got to like that matchup. And then you look at the Twins versus the Mets. Don't look now, but the Mets are making some really big strides in the NL, being one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah.
And it's former friend alert, Sean Manaea, going against your Spanish brother, Fiesta. He is 1-1 with an 8.16 ERA for Minnesota. Manaea 6-4 with a 3.74. Like the matchups around
it. Right.
You're playing the White Sox. Let them stumble. You win. Gain another game. You're only 6.5 out of the division. Still not out of far reach. You're only one game behind Minnesota for the second spot in the division and the second spot in the wild card game. Still, even though it's the White Sox, big series.
It's a huge series, right? You got to maintain. You can't fall, right? These will be the games again that we talk about if the Royals don't make the playoffs. Oh, they lost 2 out of 3 in Chicago to the White Sox in July when they traded their whole team yesterday.
And imagine going 12-1 against one team in your division on the entire year.
And that's the difference. I heard somebody talking yesterday about the Phillies, right? Yeah. And the Phillies got off to a great start. And going into like yesterday's game, they're 15 over .500 or whatever it is. But in their last 40 games, maybe it was, they're like 20-20, right?
The grind of the season.
Right. And so what they were saying is that's the difference, though, between a good baseball team and a bad baseball team, is that a good baseball team in the worst of worsts still finds a way to be even. You know, you built up your repertoire by winning and winning and winning at the beginning of the season. You gave yourself all that distance. Now you just play 500 the rest of the way. You never get into one of those deep losing streaks. The Royals really haven't gotten into one of those deep losing streaks all year long, right?
Three games, I think, is the most. Maybe a four-game losing streak somewhere that I'm forgetting about.
They did a really nice job at the beginning of the year in stocking wins and stockpiling wins, and they've done an even better job just being steady since that. And that's all you have to hope for. You hope for 1 to 2 really good months, and then the rest just to be kind of steady, be a 500 team, and that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Fesco of the Morning, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Bob, play the song to end of the show.
You want me to play baseball the damn with song. The Royals? All right, play I gotta it. Find it now.
Stick oh it in goodness. Their heads the rest of the day.
Yeah, we'll play.
Fight a food we'll, fight. It's the Royals baseball with the Royals song.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time.
You want to be
loving the fun.
We all love the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving
sing it in
day.
Your car.
Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays
in your head all day.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Damn glad to have you. Thanks for tuning into this edition of a Tuesday on Fesco in the Morning. Maybe Bob will keep having me come back. I don't know. Maybe not. All I know is Bobby Witt Jr. tonight, 7 o'clock. Vern, 6 o'clock. Tune in. Get a chance to win Royals tickets to a future home game. Enjoy your Royals game tonight. Enjoy your Olympics. Enjoy your day. Be kind to people. It's cool to care. Be nice. Change the world. Kansas City, I love you. Have a good rest of your day. Cody and Gold, they're next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.